And one of the themes that's in Scripture, and it appears over and over and over again, is something I want to talk about today. And we're going to use the word gratitude, but you'll see this word thanks or thanksgiving quite a bit. And so I'll start with 1 Thessalonians. This is the church at Thessalonica. It's a church that Paul started. And he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, but also give thanks in all circumstances." It's a fun little phrase right there, all circumstances, good or bad, highs and lows, I will give thanks. Why? This is actually God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, God's will for you is not what you do, it's who you are. So a lot of people are like, oh, what am I supposed to do with my life? It's like, it doesn't really matter if you are the right person. So God's will for your life is to give thanks. He continues to the church at Ephesus, same theme. Make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything that happens. And you do this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again to the church at Colossae, Colossians 3, 15 through 17, three different places he says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What that means, it is basically the leader of your hearts. And since as members of one body you were called to this peace, and be thankful, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And verse 17, whatever you do, anything that happens, whatever you do, whether in word, what you say, or deed, how you behave, you should do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while you're doing it, give thanks to God the Father through him. In Scripture, gratitude is not a negotiable thing. Gratitude is this thing we are supposed to become really good at. And some of us in here are really good at it. Maybe you had really good parents who always told you to thank everybody. You know, thank them, thank them, thank them. And that just became this thing you do. You know, you thank everybody for everything. And pretty soon, maybe that became normative for you, and you became a thankful person. For some of us, gratitude can be a little difficult. We know we're supposed to. We hear it. You know, you kind of hear it in pop psychology kind of stuff as well. It's like, be grateful, be grateful. But I think we're supposed to practice it. We're supposed to become grateful people. I've just given you a few scriptures. I'm going to give you a few more here in a few moments. But I want us today to practice gratitude. So here's how we're going to do the practicing of gratitude. You will notice on the floor in front of you, there are some blank sheets of paper. So I'm going to ask you, grab one of those blank sheets of paper and a pen that's there or a pen that you have. Grab those blank sheets of paper. And grab a pen, and I'll give you a second to grab something around you. Get a little bit of calisthenics, like I like to say. By the way, I like to use the word calisthenics because that's what Mr. Burns calls it in The Simpsons. He's like this old man, kind of calls it calisthenics. I love that anybody like under 30 is like, what's The Simpsons? But that's all right. And as you grab those, I want us today to be very deliberate. I want you to be very deliberate about being grateful during our teaching. So as I am speaking up here, I would like you to deliberately write some things down that you're grateful for. Not just right now, throughout this entire talk. And I'm going to bring some things to mind. And what happens is those things come to mind, I want you to write them down. It may be a name you write down, somebody that you're grateful for. Maybe they loom very large in your life. Maybe it's a family member or a coworker, a teacher or a friend. Maybe a pastor who teaches each week to you and you're very thankful for. I don't want to name names. It might be joy. It just may be the idea of joy comes to mind and you write an experience down, something that's been meaningful to you. Maybe it's work or school or a trip or an experience that you've had. You might even write suffering down, and I know that's going to be weird at first, but if you remember what we just read, in everything I give thanks. I never don't give thanks. And so I think about suffering, and the Bible asks us to be thankful in suffering, and so maybe you write down how God has comforted you in your suffering, or that person that showed up for you when you suffered. And maybe it's just an actual gift. Someone gave you something, and you really are thankful that you have that, or a possession that you have. It may be a simple gesture, like an encouraging word for somebody, or a phone call, or a text. And maybe it gets real simple. You just are thankful for a good night's sleep, or food you love to eat. Or maybe this gratitude is for something that's truly life-changing, like your faith, or the Bible, or the idea of grace, or forgiveness. And so for the entirety of this service, as we continue to go on, as God nudges you, as you get these feelings of, oh, I just kind of feel thankful for this thing, it does not have to be anything massive or great. It can be very simple. Take that pen and write it down. And if you fill one side of that paper, I'm going to ask you to turn it over and fill the other side. And I know a lot of you have phones, of course, and you can write this on your phones, and that's fine. But I might encourage you, if you're able, to actually write it. I think there's something tactile about being able to be like, yes, I'm putting this in my memory bank. I'm writing this, and I'm learning this back into my brain. And so as you write, I'm going to give you some things God teaches us about gratitude. And they'll just kind of pop up here. The first one is, to be grateful, I have to purposely see the good. We tend to be hardwired for bad things. Our brain kind of looks for danger and problems. Most of you know this. If you're in any kind of science class, you kind of realized, oh yeah, my brain has these antennas that are always looking out for something that's a problem. But some of us kind of start to live like that. We see a lot of problems. And as the problems start to mount, we just assume that all of life is bad, or at least our life is bad. We're a victim of the circumstances around us. When something bad happens, it happens to us, not just happens. And over time, we can begin to feel like, you know, is there good in the world? And the answer from the Bible is very much so. It's all over the place. But you have to shift that mindset. And you have to focus on the good things in your life. I began today with Psalm 103. I'm going to read it again. So praise the Lord, the psalmist says. O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If you hear that word benefits, bene, that's in Latin, bene means good. So whenever you see good, like benefits or benefactor, I always think of God as a benefactor, which simply means he's a factory for good. When God saw us, he saw you. He said, good, I made something good. For us, he said, oh, this is very good. So when we see, praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. It's basically, I am pouring out good things on you. You just have to be awake to see them. Don't focus just on the things that are negative. Things like forgiving all your sins, healing your diseases, redeeming your life from the pit, crowning you with love and compassion, satisfying your desires with good things, with benefits. So what are these good things for you? Right now, start focusing on them. What are these good things for you? How has God blessed you? Let something come to mind right now. You should be writing some stuff down. Some benefits that you're seeing in your life. Gratitude is, not only do I see the good, I also see that God is everywhere. I can put it this simply. I think we live in a God-bathed world. I think we have eyes that see those negative things. And sometimes it's good for us to be reminded. Maybe that's what we just do here every Sunday. Maybe even on this Sunday, especially for Thanksgiving. Just be reminded that this world is bathed with God's goodness. And when we focus on the exterior issues, sometimes we think things are worse than they are because we think God is not in control. We can fool ourselves. Like somehow something else is going on that's in control of our lives. Some people or some situation. But God is actually in control. Always has been, always will be. So the good things that happen in this world do not happen randomly. Good things that happen to you do not happen by accident. They come from somebody. If you haven't written God down yet, I'm going to encourage you right now, just write God. A good thing that you are thankful for is that God is in control. We have faith that God has good intentions toward us. And I know you and I make a mess of our lives sometimes. We make a mess of other people's lives sometimes. And for the most part, we receive the kind of natural consequences of our decisions. But even when things aren't working out, God is always on the other side, working for our good, bringing about good things. James 1:17, I'm going to encourage you. I did this a few weeks ago, but I'm just going to remind you, all of James is a good book to read. James is, a lot of people get into Stoicism. If you want a Stoic book, go read James. At its core, James says two things. If you are not a thankful person, if you don't know how to be positive, do two things. Notice all the big things that are happening around the world, everything that's happening around your life, and realize you have very little control over those things. And they're not necessarily happening to you. They're just happening. They've always been happening. Thousands of years, they will continue to happen. And then what it should force you to do is go really small. And James says, focus on the things you can actually control. If you're only worried about all the things you can't control, you will be a very unhappy person. You will not have a lot of gratitude. But when you get very minuscule, as James says, and you will find the things you can control, you will see the good. You will see that God is always around. And so he says at the beginning of James 1:17, again, encouragement. Read James. If you don't have a Bible or if you're new to the journey, there are Bibles back there. They're on the near that connect table. You can grab one, take it home. It's yours. We want you to have an actual physical Bible. Even if you're just here for the week, coming and visiting from some other state to see family, take a Bible from us. It's our gift to you. Read James. And right at the beginning in 1:17, he wants to remind us, every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. It is as if the light of God is just flowing down on us. And we are here to receive it. We are here to change our mindset that a good God exists, always wanting to give to us. So whatever chaos is going around us, whatever chaos is in people's lives around us, we instead focus on the things that we can control and that God is pursuing good on our behalf. Are you writing some things down? Who have you written down so far? You put some names down? Is there some names you're missing? Write them. Are there some people that have been important to you? Write their name. Is that better? Okay. You're messing with me, Tim. All right. By the way, if you don't know, I love sound people because they don't do pretty much anything wrong. There's so much complication, but then they're really easy to blame. So it's great. So you can always just blame the sound people. So sound people, go blame them for anything bad that just happened. No, I have no idea what that was, but that's all right. I want you to be writing some names down. I want you to put some names down. I want you to start thinking about the good people in your life. I want you to start thinking some things that God has given you. If you're not writing some things that God has blessed you with, even the smallest of things, you are wearing clothes today. You had to have money to buy those clothes. Thank God for that. As you're writing things down, I put this, gratitude grows in humility. Gratitude grows in humility. At its core, gratitude is the opposite of entitlement. If you have children, you will not raise grateful kids if you raise entitled kids. The whole goal in life of raising kids is that they're not brats. If you just want to know, you put that in your kitchen or something. Like, don't raise brats. That really is it. Entitlement raises brats. Humility raises people who want to give gratitude for the good things that come. We are God's children. He does not want to raise us as brats. So when I feel entitled, I get upset at all sorts of things. In fact, if you find yourself too upset, too anxious, too annoyed at life, too annoyed at people, too mad at people, if you see anger starting to get well up in you, situations start to make you mad, especially ones you have no control over, it is worth thinking through whether you've become an entitled person. if you're thinking too much about yourself and what you deserve. The Bible, in fact, has a term for this. You see this in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. This is how Paul calls it. Do all things without grumbling. That word grumbling in Greek has the idea of muttering under your breath. This is what brats do, right? You know, you got to do this. And so it's as if God is trying to tell me to do something. Michael, I need you to do something. And I go, okay, I do it. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, all right, I don't want to do this. That makes me mad. That's the idea of grumbling. I'm muttering. I'm not really happy in this world. I don't see the things God does as good. It is someone who complains about their lot in life, complains they're not getting what they want. I'm a victim of the circumstances, of everything else that's happening. I'm a victim even of God himself. The amount of times that people think they are upset at God when they're actually just upset at authority in some way because they haven't been able to deal with that in their own life. You cannot be a grumbler. Grumbling and gratitude cannot coexist. If you find yourself grumbling, find humility. Take away ego. Most ego is just built on insecurity anyway, so you start taking away ego and you get into this posture of humility. Because if I believe I'm owed something, I will not be thankful for anything. I mean, consider this. Let's say you just gave me a car. You came to me today, you gave me the keys to a car. You said, this car is yours. And I'd be like, well, yeah, but I mean, I want to give you something for it, or I don't know, why are you giving me a car? And you just go, I don't know, I just really want to be generous. Here is a brand new car, and you give it to me. I will be thankful. I will say thank you. I can't believe how good you are to me. That is so nice of you. I would not feel entitled to that car because I didn't even expect it. I would see it as a good thing. But if you have a car for sale, and it is somewhere out there, and I pay fair market value for that car, and I give you the money, and you give me the keys to the car, I'm going to say, yeah, it was a good deal. Good. Okay. That's great. I'm not going to say thank you for this incredible gift. I'm not going to say I'm so overwhelmed by your generosity. I'm going to say I deserved this because this was transactional. God does not want us to be transactional. He wants us in a posture of humility, looking up to this great God that does good things, that we are not owed anything, that we are not entitled to anything. And we stay humble. And as you keep writing these things, I just said a car. Maybe there is a way that you got here today. Thank God that you got here today. However you got here, thank God. Write it down. Thank God for something that happened this morning. Something simple. Did you have something to eat? Maybe it was pie, maybe it was something else. Thank God. Thank God for your sustenance. And as you keep writing, I go to this last one. Every moment is an opportunity for gratitude. It's the core message that Paul wants to tell the church at Thessalonica that I read earlier. Okay, I'll give you the little part of it that I told you. Give thanks in everything. Everything. Again, this is the will of God. Whenever you see the will of God, it's not what job should I take, what school should I go to, who should I marry, what should I do with my life. It's never that. That's a, you know, very us kind of thing to think when we think of God's will. God's will is the kind of person you are. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God toward you in Christ Jesus. So when you lay down at night, you can be grateful. When you awake in the morning and you plant your feet on the ground, you can be thankful that you have another day to be on this earth to serve our God. You can be thankful that you get to breathe this air. You can be thankful that there is this world that you get to be a part of, that God has blessed you to be a part of. You can be thankful when you plant your feet in the morning on the ground that you get to serve somebody, that you get to care for someone that day, that you get to love someone who may not feel very lovable. You get to do that. You have purpose. You have meaning. Every morning, gratitude. When you see the sun every day, you should be thankful. There's the sun. How cool is it that we live in Colorado? We see the sun constantly. It's very rare to have an overcast day like we've had this week. We get to see the sun and we can go, I'm so grateful. When you greet the most important person in your life, whoever that is, when you greet them, and many of us greet that person every single day, be grateful that they're in your life. Do not go to them with grumbling. When you use your physical body in exercise or work, be grateful. When you're tired from a long day of work, go, I am grateful that I got to work today. I am grateful I got to use my body or my mind. Work is good, and I am thankful that God, you have given me work. When you get your paycheck, no matter how big or small it is, be grateful. Thank you, God. I hope you're still writing. I hope there's still some stuff you're writing down. The things are coming to your mind and you're going, oh, that's right. Oh, I remember that. When the ancient rabbis would light a candle, they would say a word of gratitude for coming out of the darkness every time as a reminder that they get to come out of the darkness of this world into the light of God. It was their way of just being reminded, simply lighting a candle, gratitude. Gratitude without ceasing for all the good things God gives us. When you have an idea that matters, when you have something creative that comes in your brain, thank God that you get to create. Thank God that He gave you the ability to create something. You are not just a machine. You are not just a robot. You have a mind of your own, and you get to have thoughts and ideas. Thank God for that. When you have someone show you care or kindness or generosity, be grateful. Thank God for that person, for that situation. Every moment, an opportunity for gratitude. How's your writing coming along? How are you doing? Do you have a list? Do you have some people? Do you have some things? Because I want to close by giving you a challenge. I want you to look at the list you've written so far. And just start reading, however long that is, start reading. And I want to challenge you with something today. I want you to find one name on that list, just one. And maybe circle it. The name of someone who has impacted your life for good. Probably someone you've known for quite a while, or the while you have known them, it's been important. And they've impacted you. They may or may not know they've impacted you. It may be a friend or a mentor or an encourager, a coworker, a boss. Probably somebody with whom you would be a different person if they were not in your life. That we were meant for community. That we were meant to be together with other people. That the thing we have to be the most grateful for is that God has not left us alone, but He has given us each other. And so then I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to take that name, and I'd like you to take your time. And at some point today, if you can, today, because this week will get busy and you'll forget, and I understand, I'd like you to write them a letter. This kind of thing that people don't do much anymore. Not a quick text, but a letter. You can type it or write it, whatever works for you. And tell them why you are grateful to God for them. Tell them. Say, I thank my God because you blank. I'm going to encourage you to make it substantial. Aim for about 300 words or so, somewhere in there. Not just a few sentences, but some meaning. And then I'm going to encourage you to give it to them. Or even call them and read it to them, or if you're able, invite them out. Go to coffee and say, hey, I know this might sound a little odd, but I want to read this to you face to face. Person to person. I'm thankful for you. And if that feels anxiety-producing to you, if right now that feels uncomfortable, I would encourage you to realize that maybe there's some places where you have a hard time being grateful. It's okay. So do I. but that you want to fight through that because this is the kind of person you want to be. This is the kind of person we're called throughout Scripture to be. People of gratitude. And so as the worship team comes to lead us and you kind of consider those words, the words that you've written, the names and things and the experiences, I want to take this time to read the final words of Jesus on the night he was preparing to die. He had gathered his disciples in the upper room. They were going to have their final meal, their last supper. They're all together. And within hours, he's going to be arrested. And Jesus is going to be beaten. He's going to be hung from a cross and left to die. And before his death, before the resurrection on the third day, he had a meal. And here's what he said. Come up here in Luke chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles, they reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then he takes the bread, the same kind of bread that we're going to be taking in just a few moments. And what does he do? He gave thanks and he broke the bread. And then he passed it around. I said at the beginning, food, sustenance is a reminder at all times. And he gives thanks for it and he passes it around. And he goes, this is my body given for you. They don't know what's about to happen, but he's about to die for them and for us. And then in the same, and then he says, my body given for you, do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way, verse 20, after the supper, he takes the cup saying, this cup, this wine, this is the new covenant in my blood. And it is poured out for you. I find this so profound that as Jesus is taking the Last Supper, knowing what is about to happen to him within hours, with his closest friends, with the disciples he has been with for 3 years, he's not just sitting there. He's not thinking about what's next. He's not just sitting in worry or anxiety. He's grateful. He's grateful. He gives thanks for what's about to happen. He breaks the bread and says, this is what's about to happen in my body, and I give thanks. Here, take the cup. Here's the wine. This is what's going to be my blood poured out for you. I give thanks. Let us be inspired to give thanks in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, to shift our mindset to be grateful for a good God who's a factory of good, pouring good out into us. And so as you go to the table today, I encourage you to go there with gratitude. You will find bread there. The same type of bread that Jesus used as a reminder, a remembrance. I died for you. As you dip it into the wine or the juice and you take it into your body, it is the same type of drink that these disciples drank to give thanks to a God that was about to die for them. And so today I want to close with a word of thanks as we go to the table. And take this with you as you go to the table. That God, we at The Journey are thankful for friends. We are thankful for family. We are thankful for our homes, big or small. We are thankful for our cars. We're thankful for our possessions. We're thankful for our money, big or small. We're thankful for the success when it comes our way, for our jobs if we have them. But even their absence does not prevent us from being grateful for God's greatest gift. Because above all, I say to all of you, I say to you fellow followers of our Jesus, our great God who came and lived among us as Jesus Christ, that in plenty and in need, in palaces and in prison, we thank God for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, his matchless life, his unrivaled teachings, his sacrificial death, his triumphant resurrection, and in all these things, we give thanks to you, our great good God. The tables are open. You can go when you're ready.